Our Bibles tonight and go to 2 John, to the book of 2 John, so 2 John, and we'll read all 12 verses. 13 in all 13 verses. So 2 John, the elder unto the elect lady and children, whom I love in the truth. And not only I, but also all they that have known the truth, for the truth's sake which dwell in us and shall be with us forever. Grace be with you, mercy and peace from God the Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. I rejoice greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth, as we have received a commandment from the Father. And now I beseech thee, lady, not as I had wrote a new commandment to thee, but that which we had from the beginning, that we love one another. And this is love, that we walk after his commandment. This is the commandment, that as ye have heard from the beginning, ye should walk in it. For many deceivers are entered into the world, who confess not Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds. Having many things to write unto you, I would not write with paper and ink, but I trust to come unto you and speak face to face, that our joy may be full. The children of thy elect sister greet thee. Amen. And let's do the Lord in prayer. Father, again, we ask that you bless our time. We ask that you bless the reading of your word and the teaching of your word. Father, I ask that you would guide us in all truth. Lord, would you establish our thoughts because we do commit this hour unto you, Father. We want to hear from heaven. We want our hearts to be touched by you, Father. We want to be guided by you. We want to receive instructions for our daily life. Lord, even as we enter into new week, we need wisdom, discernment for the things ahead of us. But Lord, we need that confidence in to always walk in the truth of your word, the truth of who you are, the truth of our relationship with you, the truth, Father, the victory that we have over sin, the devil, and flesh. Father, I ask that you bless our time. We ask it brings honor and glory to you. We ask all in Jesus' name. Amen. This evening, I want to talk to us about being rooted in truth. It is believed that John, the Apostle John, is writing to a church of believers and not just a single lady and her children, but kind of in disguise of that, because of just the persecution that was going on during the time that he wrote that and entitled it. The letter to a lady, and even says, you know, at the end, the children, elect sister, greet thee. But again, it's a body of believers that John is writing to, and he is praising them for walking in truth. He's praising them for trusting truth, because it is truth that Jesus said that we would be sanctified by. In John 17:17, Jesus said, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth, and Jesus spoke those words. I should say, he prayed those words in the temple before getting to the Garden of Gethsemane, where he would pray with great sweat drops of blood in the temple after the Passover meal, after instituting the Lord's Supper, after Judas Iscariot has left the room and has gone to betray him and to lead the mob to the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus stops by the temple. And he prays, John chapter 17, and specifically prays this prayer of sanctifying us, God's children, through God's word, which is truth. Tonight I want to talk to us about remaining rooted in truth. Everybody loves truth. Nobody likes to be lied to. Even a liar doesn't like to be lied to. Everybody has to be told the truth, okay? And this is someone said this about being rooted in truth. Quote, a rootedness in Christ stems from a desire to grow in him and a decision to trust him and his ways. We learn those ways through his word, and those ways are rooted in his truth. Without Jesus' truth, we cannot know him. Again, truth is a wonderful, beautiful thing, and as John encourages these believers in the truth, he exhorts them, and he kind of pats them on the back, the fact that they are walking in truth. Because in verse 4, he says, I rejoice greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth, as we have received a commandment from the Father. So several things this evening in regards to being rooted in truth. In verses 1 through 3, we see our relationship to the truth. Again, he says, the elder unto the elect lady and her children, whom I love in the truth. Again, he's writing to believers, so he's writing to brethren, he's writing to family. So think about the common bond that we have as a body of believers. It have the bond of truth, our relationship to the truth of Jesus Christ. Now, in verse 1, it is our bond because he says, whom I love in the truth, and not only I, but also all they that have known the truth of Jesus Christ being their Lord and Savior. Truth is our bond. It's common beliefs. The common beliefs that we have in Scripture, through Scripture, it is what creates our common bond. Romans 8, listen to this. Romans 8, verse 38. Paul says, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Is that true or false? That's truth, and as a Bible believer, we believe that nothing separates from the love of God. So that bond of truth, that truth is what bonds us together. We believe what the Scripture says. We believe that nothing can separate us from the Father. And with that being said, that's why we can encourage one another in the Lord. That's why we see another brother or sister in Christ having a bad day or just difficulties in their life. That's why we can encourage them in the Lord, because we have a common bond. All right. I may not, as a pastor, understand what everybody's dilemma is and what everybody's feeling. Having that common bond, I can encourage that believer in the Lord that, hey, God will see you through it. God will guide you through it. God will give you the strength, the patience, the joy, and the peace to go through this valley in your life right now, because this isn't going to separate you from the love of God. And again, there are those that are weak in their faith, and when any disaster comes into their life, they go, no, God's judging me again for something I did before I was saved. And, you know, we come along and we encourage them in the Lord. No, here's the truth, all right? God's going to see you through. God's not judging you if you're not living in sin, right? This is part of life, but the truth is, this doesn't separate you from the love of God, right? And we're thankful for that nothing can separate us from the love of God. Now, when you think about the love of God and this truth, all right, in addition to it, our bond of truth should have the cord of discernment. Discernment safeguards the truth, and that is why God does not call us to an indiscriminate bond of love. Here's Philippians chapter 1. And this I pray, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and in all judgment. Paul writes to the church at Philippi. He says that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. But he says, this I pray, that your love would abound, your love for the truth, that you would be more rooted in truth, more rooted in Christ, because Christ is truth, right? So you think about it, it is our bond, the truth of who Christ is, the truth of who he is to us and what he does in our life. It is the bond, it is what we can encourage each other with. And again, when you think about it, we are to approve the things that are excellent. Our love should abound with knowledge and judgment, that discernment. what love? Our love for the truth. Again, like I said, nobody wants to be lied to. Everybody wants to be spoken truth to. But again, real truth, as John encourages these believers here, walking in truth, it's walking in the knowledge of God's love. It's walking in the knowledge of our relationship with one another that, you know what? Our relationship as believers is to be founded upon truth. It's to be founded upon truth. Look at verses 2 and 3. All right? Because our relationship to the truth, it is our bond, but it also, it is our strength. All right? Verse 2, for the truth's sake, which dwelleth in us and shall be with us forever, grace be with you, mercy and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. Truth is our strength. Truth is what strengthens marriages. Truth is what strengthens any relationship, because if there is any underlying lies in any relationship, the foundation is going to crumble. That relationship isn't going to stand the test of time, but if it's built upon truth, it will stand the test of time. And think about this. Think about your relationship with the Lord. Do you fear at all that at the last moment of you taking your last breath, if the Lord tarries, do you fear at any moment God could change his plan of salvation? I know some people believe that they can lose their salvation, but think about a Bible believer. You being a Bible believer, I mean, do you think that God could change his plan? I mean, he's God. Can he do anything, whatever he wants? But then he would be a liar, right? To change the plan of salvation, faith alone in this dispensation that we're in. God would be a liar, but God's not a man. This is a liar, right? He is truth. And here's a truth that you and I can get strength from being rooted in truth. In Malachi chapter 3 and verse 6, it says, God says, for I am the Lord, I change not. That's a good thing. God doesn't change. I'll keep saying it. Nobody likes to be lied to. Not even a liar likes to be lied to. Nobody likes to be told, hey, I'll do this for you. And when the time comes that you need someone to do what they said for you, and then they back out and say, well, I can't do it. They change, right? They said they would, but then when it was time, oh, I can't do that. Aren't you glad that God doesn't change? Because that's who he is. He is truth. He is faithful. He cannot change because he would be going against his nature. He'd be going against who he is. When you think about just this truth being our strength, we know that God cannot change. His word cannot change. Jesus Christ, in Hebrews 13:8, the same yesterday, today, and forever. If Jesus Christ was strength of the disciples in the beginning of the church, 2,000 years later, he's still the strength of the church. He's still the strength of the disciples. We are disciples of Christ. He's still the truth. He has changed. His word hasn't changed. His power hasn't changed. His mission hasn't changed. His mission is to redeem lives, transform lives, and obviously to bless lives. We have victory through Christ. And it is our strength. Look at 2 John. Right here, 2 John chapter 3 again. All right, it says, grace be with you, mercy and peace from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. When we think about it, God's goodness and his grace are the motivators that lead us along in our walk with him. God's goodness and God's grace are the motivators that lead us along in our walk with him. His mercy, his peace, and his love cause us to desire his truth. Again, when somebody is truthful to you, you kind of gravitate to them. But if you know someone to be a habitual liar, you tend to distance yourself. You know, you'll be cordial with them, but you won't believe anything they say, and you'll kind of keep your distance, and you won't even open yourself up to them because you know they might stab me in the back. They may say things about me to other people that aren't true. So, but with Christ, obviously with Christ, that's not true. Therefore, you know what? We can open ourselves up to the Lord because He knows us. He knows the truth about us, and He wants us to continue learning the truth about Him, that He is faithful to us. His love doesn't change for us because He died for us. I'm always reminded that the Lord knew who He was getting when He died for me. He knew who He was getting. I wasn't even born yet. I hadn't even committed my sins yet. And the Lord knew and said, you know what, I need to die for Him. Just like He needed to die for you and every single person, all right? He's the one that makes us good. He's the one that makes us righteous. He's the one that changes us, and that is the truth. The truth is, He is our strength. And John, as he writes to these, I believe, this church and these believers, he wants them to keep walking in that truth. The truth that Christ is your strength. Christ is not only your Redeemer, but He is your strength. And you need to remain in that truth, because listen, when you read Scripture, when you start in the book of Acts, you start at the Pentecost, even start Acts chapter 1, when Jesus ascends back up to the Father and, you know, tells His disciples, you know, go into Jerusalem, wait until the promise of the Father. Wait until the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Because He told them it was expedient for Him to go away, that the Holy Spirit would come. And He reminds them again on that day, wait in Jerusalem. Don't go anywhere until you receive the promise of the Father. And it was on the day of Pentecost, several days later, they were in that upper room praying, fasting together as a body of believers, and it was a sound of a rushing mighty wind that filled the room, and it was the Holy Spirit coming upon them to even signify to them, you know, that flame of fire upon each of their heads, signifying the Holy Spirit coming upon them so that they could do what? What Jesus said they would have power to do. They would have the boldness of the Holy Spirit to preach the gospel to all the world. And on that day of Pentecost, they preached to every nation under the sun at that time, because the Jews, all nations, had come to Jerusalem to worship during the different feasts and even to be there for the day of Pentecost. Remember, we get to Acts chapter 2, it names off all the different languages, the different nations that the Jews had come from to Jerusalem, and they all said, how do we hear the wonderful works of God in our own language? They even said, aren't these Galileans? They don't know our language, but we hear what they're saying in our language. So I mean, you think God wanted them to be rooted in truth, and these disciples had to obey what Jesus said in order to fulfill His commandment. But truth, and people heard the wonderful works of God. Again, God doesn't change, we change. Over time, the truth of God's word has continued to be questioned, just as it was in the Garden of Eden when the devil said, yea, hath God said. So when John says, when he says in verse 4, I rejoice greatly, I found of thy children walking in truth, that's a wonderful thing when God sees His children walking in truth, because we live in a world full of lies. Lies that are spewed out of the mouths of those that claim to be Christian. Remember, the devil can appear as an angel of light, and his demons can appear as ministers of light. So the devil's always trying to lead people astray with false truth. Lie. Even mixed with a little bit of the truth. We have to be careful that we're not led astray by the lies of man. That's why, you know what, we can't believe everything. We can't believe every book that's written out there in the name of Jesus. Because remember, Jesus even says in the latter times, when the judgment comes, there'll be those that say, Lord, Lord, haven't we done all this in your name? And they'll say, I never knew you. Depart from me, that thou work is iniquity. So we got to be careful. You know what? Everything we allow into our life, whether it's music, whether it's books, whether it's, Bible shows, documentaries people do, we got to make sure it matches up with Scripture, with truth, so we're not led astray. And then the devil's always trying to get God's people astray, and God marvels and loves it when his people walk in truth. Again, we rejoice greatly that I found thy children walking in truth. Keep reading on, verse 5, and now I beseech thee, lady, not as I wrote a new commandment unto thee, but that which we had from the beginning, that we love one another. And this is love, that we walk after his commandments. His commandments are true, right? This is the commandment, that as ye have heard from the beginning, ye should walk in it. For many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist, right? Obviously, anyone who doesn't profess Jesus Christ has come in the flesh, died and rose again, they're antichrist. All right. And there are many people, there are religions that do not believe Jesus died and rose again. All right. Verse 8, look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. So you think about these verses, we think about our responsibility with the truth. We think about our responsibility with the truth because the most important knowledge of life is knowing Christ. Knowing Christ and knowing his commandments, knowing his ways. In verse 4, it talks about walking in truth, right? He says, I rejoice greatly that I found my children walking in truth. As a parent, you know, those of you that have already raised your children and those that are still raising your children, as a parent, it thrills your heart when they do it the right way. When they do what they've been told to do without being told to do it, right? Because, you know, you got to tell them, you know, multiple times, I said not to do that. And then one day when they just do it, it's like, they got it, right? And you just kind of rejoice as a parent, right? And then next day, it's probably back to God to tell them again, right? But you rejoice in that moment that they actually did what they're supposed to do without me having to tell them. So you think about when he says, I rejoice greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth. So he's saying, not that I had to tell you, but I found you walking in truth. You were doing what you learned. You were doing what you heard. And what does it mean to be walking in truth? Reading God's word. For us, a copy of God's word, so walking in truth, it is reading God's word. How many of you, I know none of my kids would probably remember this. Maybe Nathan. How many of us remember the yellow pages? The phone book, right? The phone book. You know, it's like, you know, once a year you'd get a new one thrown at your doorstep, you know, this thick, you know, anybody you want to call, there's, so I just remember as a kid. You know, just looking through, trying to find, like, my grandparents, you know, in there, and just, oh, there's their name, there's their, you know, and then you go to that dial phone, and, right? You know, I didn't have to do the ring, some of you did, but, you know, you just think about that, you know, and what's the commercial? I'm assuming the commercial was the same in the north as it was in the south, but it was the fingers walking through the yellow pages, right? So walking, you know, in truth is walking in the Word of God. Walking through the Word of God, reading God's Word daily, studying God's Word, right? Right? Not just reading it, but studying it, letting it change you, letting it speak to you, because you know what? The more we read it, the more we see it, the more we find out of walking in truth, desiring truth, and you know what? Having the discernment that I can tell if something's not true. Because over the years, I've been given different books, different times from different people. They thought it was a book. Here, Pastor, you'll like this. good. Start to read it. Sounds good so far. Oh, that's not right. And put it aside because you're walking truth, so you can see the lies mixed in with the truth. And, oh, okay, that's not good. That's going to disturb my thinking. That's going to lead me off track that God has placed my feet in. But you know, that's memorizing God's word. Because memorizing is hiding God's word in your heart. Right? Walking in truth is reading God's word, studying it, memorizing it, because we have to let the God dwell rich in us so it changes us. All right? Listen, I love the fact that God did not save us and then say, okay, find your way through this now. No. He gave us the light. A light that is so bright, it will show us where we're standing spiritually in our life and where we're supposed to be heading in our life. But we're to read God's word, study it, memorize it, pray for understanding. I don't care how long someone's been reading their Bible. We still have a lot of learning to do. It amazes me. For me, that I can read something for the 100th time, and I call it, wow, I never saw that. Because God's word speaks to you during that season of your life, and you need God to speak to you. Maybe, you know, God spoke to your heart differently last year in that verse because of something else going on in your life. God's word is applicable to every season of our life, everything. That's why walking in truth. Paul or John rejoice, but you know what? You and I rejoice walking in truth. We rejoice when God reveals something. It's like, yes, you know, because God's the one guiding us. God's the one leading us. But listen, always praying for understanding. Lord, help me to understand. Not just what the text says, but how it applies to me, right? Because let's face it, we're reading the Old Testament. Sometimes we're like, well, you know, that Old Testament. I'm a New Testament saint, and I don't understand a lot of the things back there. And I can't pronounce the names. But when you're reading, trying to read through those lists of names, because you're trying to be a good Bible student, oh, and read your Bible, but you're, you know, stuck in all these names, just stop and ponder the thought. All these names are written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. And so is my name. God knows every one of those names, and every one of those names that are in the Old Testament and that listing of names are important to God, which reminds us, I am important to God, and God knows my name. I don't know everybody's name in the world that has lived, is living, and will live, but God does. He never forgets a name. You know what it's like sometimes you see somebody after a long time, you're like, oh, I know that person. I just can't remember their name, right? You don't want to call them by the wrong name. So as an evangelist I know, and his wife would always do it, brother, hey, sister, because, you know, they're in a different church every week and they can't remember everybody's name. That's all they would ever say, brother, hey, sister. You're like, it makes you feel good because it's, oh, yeah, brothers, sisters in Christ. But what it is, they can't remember names. They don't want to, you know, call you by the wrong name. But aren't you glad God knows your name? So praying for understanding of God's word and then obviously applying the word of God to our life. That's walking in truth. Walking in God's word. Walking in the ways of the Lord. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15 tells us this. Study to show thyself approved unto God. I love that. Who do I need to prove anything to? God. Sometimes we might feel pressured that we have to be a certain way for people. Sometimes, you know, we might even, you know, kind of stretch the truth. Hey, what'd you, you know, someone just out of the genuineness of their heart. Hey, you know, what'd you read out of your Bible this week? Because they're excited about what they read and they want to know what you read, and maybe you didn't have time to read or you don't remember what you read. And you just kind of make something up because, you know, you don't want, you know, that person to think that, you know, you don't read your Bible, right? Again, it's not about proving yourself to somebody else as being approved of God. Because you know what? God has something for you and me every day in the truth of His Word. And I know you already know this, but we all face the temptation of not reading it. And, you know, sometimes we believe we need to recognize the lies of the devil. We do have time. There's that old lie, there's just not enough time in the day to get done what I needed to get done. But there is, you just have to schedule it. Lives are busy, our lives are busy, but we have to schedule it. And someone may feel, you know, bad. What, I got to pencil God into my schedule? Unfortunately, yeah, because I heard a pastor say, what doesn't get scheduled never gets accomplished. You'll never do it if it's not written down. If you don't schedule it, put it on the calendar, put it on your to-do list, all right? But it should be the first thing and the last thing that we do every day. Psalm 119:11 says, Thy word have I in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. In verse 8 in the same chapter, open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. And in James 1:22, be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving our own selves. It's walking in the truth. It's walking in the truth because it is our responsibility. Our responsibility is to walk in truth. And with that responsibility that we fulfill comes a reward. Comes a reward. Look at verses 9 through 12. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds. Having many things to write unto you, I would not write with paper and ink, but I trust to come unto you, speak face to face, that our joy may be full. John said, I wrote a little letter to you. I've got more I want to say, but I'd rather be with you. I'd rather fellowship with you and talk face to face so that our joy can be full. Because again, there's joy in truth. Not just when you hear truth, but having a conversation of truth. The truth is that, you know what? I mean, you can get along with all your family members, your earthly family members, but your heavenly family members, those that are saved, we should be able to get along. Because you know what? There's this bond of truth, and that truth is Jesus Christ. But our reward is in the truth, all right? Relationship with one another and with the Lord is rooted in truth. Because we have an eternal relationship, according to verse 9. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. John 3:36, Jesus said, He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Aren't you glad for the truth in your life that the wrath of God does not still abide on you, but everlasting life through the Son? Right? We have that eternal relationship. It is the truth that gives us this eternal relationship. In 1 John chapter 5, verse 20, you just have to look back one page. It says, And we know that the Son of God has come and hath given us an understanding, that we may know him that is true. And we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God, eternal life, Jesus Christ. So when we're walking in truth, we're walking with truth, Jesus Christ. Because you can't know truth without knowing Jesus Christ. And that's the wonderful thing. Many people are still walking in darkness because they don't know the light. They don't know the true light, which is Jesus Christ, who came into the world to light every man. You go back to the beginning of John chapter 1 and you read that. But to truly walk in truth is to walk with Jesus Christ. Not only do we have this eternal relationship, but also according to verse 12, with this earthly fellowship, and John was, he was looking to fellowship with these believers. You and I get to gather every Sunday, every Wednesday as we're able to. John, he wrote a letter. He would have to travel to them. The church wasn't, you know, in the same town. He would have to travel. But he desired, just as Paul desired, to go to all the churches again. First time when established, second time he would see the people again and encourage them in the truth, encourage them in the Lord. You and I have this awesome privilege to come together. That's why it's so important not to forsake the assembling of us together, because We need that encouragement. We need to see other brothers and sisters in Christ. We need to be able to, Lord, because you know what, there are those that think, how can I serve God? I feel like I'm not doing anything. It's like, well, get in church, because there's plenty of people you can encourage, because that's just the greatest service we can do for the Lord outside of telling someone about Christ, is to encourage another brother and sister in the truth, because everybody has their struggles at different times, and everybody needs somebody that understands that, you know what, you may not understand their situation, but understand, you know what, I know they're saved, I know they know the Lord, but I'm just going to encourage them in the Lord, because they need to remember that the Lord is their strength, and they need to walk in that truth, that Christ is their strength. And in 1 John 20, he says, and we know that the Son of God has come and hath given us an understanding that we may know him that is true. And we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. But also, think about this earthly fellowship. In 2 John, look at verse 12, just the last thing he says. The last thing that John says to him in verse number 12, because this is the reward in the truth. He says that our joy may be full. That our joy may be full. In the book of Psalms, it tells us that the presence of God is the fullness of joy. Jesus said, where two or more are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst. So on this earth, where do we find joy? Among God's people. Among God's people that are walking in truth. God's people who are exercising their faith, that are working on their relationship with the Lord. Because I don't find joy in someone that is living contrary to God's word, claims to be saved. I don't find joy. I mean, I find, you know, grief. I find, you know, sadness, you know, for them that, you know what, they're not living in joy, that living in the truth of Christ, because in the presence of the Lord is the fullness of joy. The songs that we sang tonight, how did you sing them? Did you sing them with a heavy heart, and did you sing them singing these songs? Or did you sing them, actually pay attention to the words of the songs, right? Because you think about, grab your hymnal and go to 628. So I can preach out of the Bible and I can preach out of the hymnal. Page 628. Because these hymns were written by people whose lives were changed by the power of Christ and whose lives were affected by his word, the truth of his word. But page 628, my Savior's love. The first line, I stand amazed at the presence of Jesus the Nazarene and wonder how he could love me. But the truth is, he does, because a sinner condemned unclean. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. So you think about the rewards you get walking in truth. Being lavished with the love of Christ. You remember what it was like as a child? Disobeying your parents, not doing what you were told. And being tempted with the lie that my parents probably aren't going to love me because I disobeyed them. And, I can't show my face to them. You know, all the different lies that kids are told because they disobey. You know the wonderful thing about God and a true loving earthly parent is that we understand the sin nature of a child, and we're there to love them, to forgive them, and to help them do what's right. So think about the love of Christ. The love of Christ reminds us that I'm a sinner saved by grace, and sometimes I don't do what's right, but God's still there to love me, forgive me, and help me do what's right. Walking in truth is to remind us, think of what? He's changing my life. He's working on me. He's transforming me more to the image of him. And he does want me to walk in truth so that my joy will be full. Because we do find joy in walking with the Lord. Not, you know, not pulling against him, right? But walk in unison, walking, you know, in sync, in step with him, because we're enjoying the fellowship with the Lord, which helps us to enjoy the fellowship with other believers that are walking in Christ. And as John says, man, I have a lot more to say, but I want to come to you face to face. I want fellowship with you so our joy will be full, because he heard they were still walking in truth, but he wanted to be with them. Just as bad attitudes are contagious, somebody's joy is contagious too. Someone who has genuine joy, someone who just, every time you see them, they're just bubbly. I mean, genuine joy and genuine happiness, it's like you're drawn to that. It's like, man, give me some of that, you know. Let some of that rub off on me, you know. Where's the potion you're drinking? I want some of that, right? You and I need to be the one that others desire what we have. And what we have is Christ, rooted in truth.